I really appreciate the good job that Darrell's doing in this debate. He's conducting himself as a gentleman. He's pressing his points like he ought to be doing, but he's not trying any tricks, pulling any sideshows or anything like that. He's trying to prove his position and disprove mine, and I appreciate that. He brings up the restroom and the water fountain. He thinks he's showing that my position is inconsistent, but I don't think so. Restrooms and kitchens there are not parallel, as we pointed out last night. Restrooms, and by the way, he brought this up last night at least once or twice, and I responded to it each time, but he never responded to my response, which is why we have 3 20-minute speeches apiece in a debate. Instead, he would just go back and repeat, Pat's inconsistent because they have restrooms and water fountains. Well, he's already said that once. So the reason we go into more speeches, Darrell, so that after I reply, then you reply to my response instead of going back and just repeating what you said to begin with. And that's all you ever do is go back and repeat what you said. Now, next time, instead of just repeating about the restrooms and the water fountains, you tell me why my response to that is not correct, because I responded to it every time you brought it up. Restrooms are provided to facilitate the command to assemble, Hebrews 10:25. Just like the pew, just like the songbook is authorized to facilitate singing, the pew is used to facilitate assembling. The parking lot is used to facilitate assembling. The church building is used to facilitate assembling. The fans, the lights, the ceiling, the carpet, the restroom, the water fountain, those are all authorized because we have the command to assemble. But kitchens, as you read, as we're under dispute in this debate, I'm going to come up for benevolent uses. Kitchens are used to facilitate a church social meal. Now, the assemble, the church to assemble is authorized. The church social meal is not. Now, can you see the difference in the restroom and the water fountain and the kitchen? You see that, Darrell? Now, if I'm wrong about this, tell me why, instead of just telling me the restrooms and the water fountains. You'd rather have those so you're inconsistent. Here's why we have restrooms and water fountains, and here's why we don't have kitchens. Now tell us why this is wrong, and then if you can prove that we're wrong on that, we'll change. We'll get rid of the restrooms and the water fountains. We're not going to do this. Well, we know restrooms and water fountains are not authorized, but we do it anyway, so we can have kitchens even though they're not authorized. It sounds like what you're saying, but we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is get rid of the restrooms and the water fountains. But you need to tell me why they're not authorized by Hebrews 10:25, just like the pews and the carpet. I can find the authority to assemble, and therefore the authority for restrooms and water fountains, but I cannot find the authority for the church social meal. Therefore, I can't find the authority for the kitchen. And then he mentioned about the NI brethren socializing in the foyer. Number 34, Tommy. Again, Darrell has made this argument 3 or 4 times in this debate, and I've responded to it with this chart every time, and he still hasn't responded to this chart. Not one time. Each time he just goes back and mentions that we socialize in the foyer. Selling name, we're inconsistent, but he's never, ever, not in the debate, yet, asked when I show the difference here, come back and responded to it. Now, Darrell, that's why we have more than one speech per night, so you can respond to my response instead of just repeating your argument. You notice that kids may play chase in the parking lot after services. But does that prove then we can have a church ball team? Or any of you brethren here can't see the difference in that and that? We're going to assemble. We have a building to assemble. And on the way out, we talk. We talk about sports, maybe. Now, nothing wrong with that. We're agreed on that. But is that the same then, since we talk about sports on the way out, as having a church ball team or building a gymnasium? Do you see the difference? One, you're setting up as a church work, facility arranged and provided for, paid for by the church. The other is just an incidental while you're doing something else that is authorized. For example, Darrell's daughter, I'm forgetting her name, maybe she discusses a popular movie in the foyer on the way out of the church building. And I think she thinks, and Darrell thinks that's okay, and I do too. No problem with that. But I don't think either one of them, Darrell or her daughter, would think then that the church could build the movie theater. Now, Darrell, can you see the difference in just discussing the movie in the foyer and building the movie theater? If you can, then you ought to be able to see the difference in socializing in the foyer, which is what discussing a popular movie is, and building a building to socialize in, like a fellowship hall. Do you see the difference? Is there anybody here that can't see that difference? Now, Darrell just gets back up here and says, again, that, well, the NI brethren, the non-institutional brethren, they socialize in the foyer, therefore he's inconsistent. You remember how I'd answered that, and see if he ever says anything about this, because he hasn't yet. Men might talk about basketball in the foyer. Anything wrong with that? No. Does that mean we can build a church gymnasium? Women discuss recipes in the foyer. There are some incidental things. Darrell, are you saying there's nothing incidental? I don't see how you can avoid doing incidental things. You come together for worship, you have a building, how can you avoid having incidentals? You can't. These are incidentals. But just because they can discuss recipes in the foyer doesn't mean we can start, arrange for, provide for, and pay for a church cooking school. Some churches of Christ probably do that. I hope none around here, but I'm sure there are some that do it. Perhaps my father and I are working around the building up in Westview in Murfreesboro, and he instructs me a little bit on different things about how to build a building or how to fix this and that. I've been with him to the building over there, and we've done just that. I'm not a very good student, but he's a very good teacher. But does that prove that then we can have a church school on electrical wiring and plumbing? Perhaps the preacher's son plays a computer game on the computer, the preacher's computer there in the study, at his study at the church building while he's waiting on his dad to finish. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Does that mean then we can advertise in the paper and have a video game festival? Let's just build a whole building, put in 20 new computers, and invite the public to have a video game contest. Well, according to Daryl's reasoning, since we socialize in the foyer, that would prove that we can have fellowship halls and kitchens to facilitate the socializing and pay for it. Then if the preacher's son does this, we can do this. But Daryl doesn't believe that. He knows that this is okay, but these are not okay. Just go up and down the line, all of them. Therefore, he sees the difference. Therefore, he's not really making an argument he believes. I don't believe he's being dishonest. He thinks he believes the argument, but he doesn't. If he really believed the argument, then he would have to do one of two things. Either say all of these are unscriptural, or say all of these are scriptural. Now, I gave him that choice last night, but he didn't respond. He doesn't believe his own argument. Again, I'm not saying he's dishonest. He thinks he believes it, but he doesn't. He's deceived himself. Because if he really believed his own argument, he would give up all these, or he would accept all these. Because he's saying that these are the same as these. Because he said socializing in the foyer is the same as building a kitchen and a fellowship hall to facilitate the socializing. You see? And if that's true, if socializing in the foyer is the same as this, then he's either going to say these are all unscriptural, or if these are scriptural, he's going to say these are all scriptural. Because he said they're the same. That was his argument. Perhaps Daryl's wife listens to the radio while cleaning the building one day. Does that prove we can have a secular music concert? Let's ask the band Alabama and pay them about $50,000 to hold a concert in our church building. And invite the public. We'll ask them not to sing the three or four songs that they have that are filthy. Most of their songs are okay, as far as I know. Or we talk about the Super Bowl in the foyer. Well, then why don't we just have that Super Bowl viewing party, as many of the Churches of Christ are doing today? Why don't we just build a whole new building with a big screen TV in it to watch the Super Bowl and other NFL games? And well, we ought to be able to do that since we can talk about the Super Bowl in the foyer on the way out, according to his reasoning. Preacher eats the lunch in the study while he's studying, facilitate his study, which is authorized. Does that prove a church social meal? No, not any more than these prove these. I try to use ridiculously extreme examples so that you can really see my point. And this one is ridiculously extreme. My arm is sore, so while Darrell's preaching, I rub it. I massage my arm. While he's preaching, I'm listening. Nothing wrong with that. That's just an incidental to me being there and listening to your sermon there. You tell me if that's not an incidental. Just get up here and say that's incidental or it's not incidental. Now, would that prove then that church can have, build a whole building and pay for a church massage parlor? Now, I'm not talking about a massage parlor as 90% of them are, where they basically are just sex appeal. I'm talking about one that would really be for massaging. People come in there and stay fully clothed and they just massage their arms and their back to get the kinks out of their muscles. So I'm not talking about the sex thing. I'm talking about a legitimate one. Well, could we have that since I rubbed my arm while Daryl was preaching the sermon? I don't think you want to go there, Daryl. No, respond to that. And then he said, put up his 19, we're not having this common meal in the Lord's Supper assembly. Then why did you bring up this chart? He said these weren't talking about having this common meal in the same assembly. Well, I believe we need to see the whole context of these because I've read the context, but I don't have it with me. And they are talking about the common meal being in the same assembly as the Lord's Supper. Now, if you can't tell it from these short quotes, which I think you can, but if you got the context of all these and read the whole quote, they're talking about what the view was of these people was is that the Corinthians were eating a common meal in the same assembly, in the church assembly, and then they immediately after, in the same assembly, ate the Lord's Supper. Now, if you read the context of all these, that's what all of these would be saying. Maybe he doesn't have enough here for you to see that. But he said, well, see, didn't the prayer start the service here? Darrell, look at this on number two. You said it looked like to you they ate the common meal and then they had a prayer to start the service. Darrell, that's not right. This prayer was done after the emblems were revealed. Not to start the service. This was the prayer, right? We're talking about the prayer where Jesus, in the model, gave thanks for the emblems, the fruit of the vine and the bread, right before they ate the Lord's Supper. This is not talking about a prayer to start the service. This is talking about a common meal that just precedes the Lord's Supper in the same service, in the same assembly. You see, it says this feast, the agape feast, and the Lord's Supper were still closely connected. Well, if you read the whole context of this, what he's really saying is they're in the same service, not closely connected in the sense they were 2 hours different from each other, but in the same service, one right after the other. Wesley, isn't that right? You don't have to answer, but isn't that right? If you read the whole context, that's what they're talking about. Notice it says here in number 4, in the East, the Agape Feast was still connected to the Lord's Supper back as late as AD 200. That's what they're saying. Daryl, well, why use these quotes to try to prove your position when what they're really saying is that the common meal was in the same assembly as the Lord's Supper. Matter of fact, just previous to it. That's what they're saying. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with all that, because these are extra-biblical. They don't count in a Bible debate. They shouldn't be up here as used as proof. But if he's going to use them, they actually prove something that goes contrary to what he's contending for, because he agrees with me that 1 Corinthians 11 says that it's wrong to eat a common meal in the church assembly. And I mean by that what you would say in the same, a worship assembly, in the same assembly the Lord's Supper is being eaten in. Well, these are saying that's what was done. Daryl, if you don't believe that the common meal can be eaten in the Lord's Supper assembly, why did you use 1 Corinthians 11 last night as one of your two only texts to prove it? In 1 Corinthians 11, this common meal they were eating was in the same assembly as the Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, I believe, in contrary to what these folks said, and there are other commentaries that would agree with me, but it doesn't prove a thing, I believe it wasn't just a separate thing that they're eating them one right after the other, as these folks said. I believe they were actually eating the Lord's Supper, and that's what they called it. Okay, but what they were doing is they were changing it from the way it should be done. They were eating a lot of food to satisfy hunger. Okay, and also what they were doing, and Wesley may agree with me on this. I'd be surprised if he did. And also what they were doing is they were holding back food from the poor people. And Paul condemns both of those practices. He says, this is when you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, verse 20. He's not saying they weren't supposed to eat the Lord's Supper. He was saying, You think you're eating the Lord's Supper. That's what you're intending to do, but it's not really a scriptural Lord's Supper because you've changed it to a meal to satisfy hunger. He says, if you're hungry, eat at home. Notice verse 21, he says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. For eating what? Eating the Lord's Supper. He's saying, for in eating the Lord's Supper, everyone taketh before his own supper. They were trying to eat the Lord's Supper, but it's not scriptural because they were doing it before one another, see, at different times. Holding back from the poor. And then he says in verse 33, he says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry or wait for one another. To eat what? The Lord's Supper. That's what he's talking about. They're changing the Lord's Supper. Not only was this common meal in the same service as the Lord's Supper, it was actually what they called the Lord's Supper, but they had changed it to a common meal. And we don't do that today. We eat just a little bit like we ought to. It's not to satisfy hunger. We all eat at the same time, or we should. So it's in the same assembly, Daryl. These quotes you gave say that. The Bible says that, yet you used it as proof of your position. You don't even believe it can be in the same assembly as the Lord's Supper. That's inconsistent. And then he said that Pat had a problem with extra-biblical writings for proof. That's not an exact quote. Daryl, I believe you have a massive problem on that, if that's the correct word. That is a totally different attitude that we'll never be able to agree on some things in the Bible because we have a different attitude. He believes that you ought to use extra-biblical writings to help prove your position. I believe that's an absolute no-no. You're right. We totally disagree on that. Every debate I've ever been in, as far as I remember, the other side has tried to use commentaries to prove their position. They can't prove it by the Bible. They're going to use commentaries. That's the same thing Daryl did last night. You see? Matter of fact, my last two debates, I had a debate with a Sabbath people. And by the way, we had like 600 people there the second night. So maybe some subjects you can get a lot of people, or it's just where you are. I'm not sure. Most of those were Seventh-day Adventists. They came up here and used commentaries to try to prove that the Catholics changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. They tried to use commentaries to prove that the Sabbath was still being, the Christians were still doing the Sabbath in 100 or 200 AD and stuff like that. They tried to do the same thing Daryl could. They couldn't prove their proposition by the Bible, so they used commentaries. Now, I got up there and gave some commentaries by Ignatius, for example, just to show that there were commentaries on both sides of the issue. Not to try to prove my position, but just to show you can't trust extra-biblical writing. And you can't. We brought up last night Barnes and then the International Bible Encyclopedia that says one said that the Agape Feast was the Lord's Supper, one said it was a benevolent thing. We weren't using those to try to prove my positions, but just to show Daryl that if you're going to go to commentaries, extra-biblical writings, you can always get people to say both sides or even three or four sides of the issue, as in we're doing today. No, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I'll stop right there. What is profitable for doctrine? Extra-biblical commentaries? like the Epistle to Barnabas or Ignatius or any of the guys he brought up, Darrell brought up in proof of his proposition. No, only the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. We brought up a passage last night, John 17:17. Thy word is truth. What is truth? God's word. None of these other things are truth. In John 16:13, Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit to his disciples then, or the apostles, he said the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. That means that what the apostles and the other New Testament prophets gave us in the New Testament was all of the truth, every bit of it. Now, that's either true or not. Did Jesus say 90% of the truth? He would guide them into 90% of the truth, but you'd have to get 10% from Ignatius or any other extra biblical source? He said all the truth. Now, Darrell, that's the difference in our attitude. We believe that you have to go by the Bible and the Bible alone. And if you can't prove it by the Bible, then you haven't proved it. Put up 41, Tommy. And so let's talk about, before you leave 1 Corinthians 11, let's talk about his proof there. Remember last night he used, and this morning, 1 Corinthians 11 to try to prove his position. That's that dispute in this debate. But actually, Paul is rebuking them for eating a common meal in the church assembly. So this is a disapproved example, not a proved example. Remember, we provide authority to command approved example, necessary inference, not disapproved example. But he tried to use an example where Paul rebuked them and said, this is bad, this is something you ought not be doing. And Darrell got up here and says, you can't deny they're doing it. And I responded, I know that, they were doing it, and Paul told them not to, that it was a sin. But he still used it for authority. Sorry about that, I broke your tape. In Galatians 2:12-13, we have Peter and Barnabas and some others refusing to eat with Gentiles simply because they were Gentiles. They were playing the hypocrite. That's an example. Can we follow that example and refuse to eat with Gentiles simply because they're Gentiles? Or Jews simply because they're Jews? Or blacks simply because they're blacks? No, we can't. Why not, Darrell? According to your reasoning, we can. We have an example of it. But it's a disapproved example, not an approved. 1 Corinthians 6, we have an example of some brethren taking other brethren to law. There we have an example of people doing it in the Bible. Does that mean we're authorized to do it? No, this is a disapproved example. He's rebuking them for that. In 1 Corinthians 5, Tommy, get your pointer for me. 1 Corinthians 5, we have an example of a man having, talking about sexually, his father's wife. Fornication. Does that mean that we're authorized to do that? No, that's a disapproved example, not a proved example. Do you see the difference there? 1 Corinthians 11, yes, it's talking about a common meal, a church social meal, but it's a disapproved example. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 12, we have an example of church division, a disapproved example. We can't follow that example. 1 Corinthians 15, we have an example of Christians teaching there's no resurrection of the dead. That's a disapproved example. There, we can't follow that. And then the same as in 1 Corinthians 11, we have a disapproved example. We cannot follow that. Darrell asked, how many times does God have to say something? Darrell, I completely agree with you that it only has to be one time. That's not the issue. But you don't have one time. My point is on that we don't have enough information is not that we need more than one verse. Is that the verse you gave in Jude, verse 12, you can't prove that's talking about a church social meal. After all it says is love feast. How can you prove from the phrase love feast that that's talking about a church meal, social meal, parallel to what your brethren practice and what's under dispute in this debate? We pointed out many other possibilities, the Lord's Supper, benevolent meal, just individuals getting together. How could you do that? It's not that we need one verse. That's all we need. You can't prove that. As a matter of fact, you said in your answer to your question this morning, Jude verse 12 is a meal eaten by individuals. That's what I think that's fine. Then it doesn't have anything to do with the dispute in this debate because I believe it's fine and dandy and great for the Christians to get together as individuals to eat. Now, I don't know if I have time, but let's see if I can explain this since you brought it up more than once. Colossians 3:17 doesn't say church. This will take a lesson on how to establish authority. Now, you cannot use individual passages for positive authority for the church. Like, just because individuals have a business, that doesn't mean you have the authority for the church to do it. But when the individuals are told not to lie, tell a lie, that would of necessity mean the church cannot lie. Because if the church told a lie, that would mean that every member in the church that went along with that told a lie. So when you see God says, don't do this to an individual, that would necessarily mean the church can't do it. Because if the church did it, that would mean every individual there would be doing it. But when God tells the individual that he may do this positively, that doesn't necessarily authorize the church to do it, and you agree with that. I hope you understand that.
5-minute break. Tommy, or Pat's chart 36 here. He began with this particular chart,
talking about restrooms and kitchens and alleging an inconsistency on my behalf in this discussion, because I will continue to talk about the water fountain. But friends, the reason I'm doing that is to point out the inconsistency. The inconsistency. The inconsistency that says we can socialize in our meeting houses because that's an incidental. But you know what? If you throw a hamburger into it, you've got a problem. It's inconsistent. We have the water fountain. It's purchased with the monies collected on the first day of the week. And so, you know, we're giving you Bible for what our proposition has been in the affirmative. We supported it with Bible. But I'm still waiting for Bible to see your proposition in the affirmative. We haven't seen it. Continuing to chase me around. I wonder, you know, the Bible says in Acts 8:4, when the brethren were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word, chasing rabbits. Is that the idea of Acts 8:4? No, we know that it's not. No, I'm not trying to be inconsistent, just show their inconsistency in this matter. And you know, 30 or 45 minutes of socialization, is that an incidental? But that's what happens in many cases. Inconsistent. Okay, here's chart number 34. He talks about me keep coming back to the same things. Friends, that's what I'm doing. I'm coming back to the truth. I'm going to stay with the truth. I'm going to stay on top of the truth, because the truth has nothing to hide or nothing to fear. It was alleged as well that number 34 wasn't discussed or dealt with in this debate. Friends, do I have to pull up the chart to discuss it? Have I discussed it? Indeed. Oh, yes. First of all, who uses the incidental aspect to draw authority, to make conclusions? That's not what I'm doing. What I'm trying to do is show you that they're doing the same thing. Now, how come we can't understand that? What's the difficulty in letting that seep in? Kids playing chase in a parking lot. No, that doesn't authorize a church ball team. And teens discussing a popular movie. It doesn't authorize a church movie theater. Basketball in the foyer. Church gymnasium? No. It doesn't authorize it. And we're not saying that. We're not saying that the water fountain authorizes the eating in the meeting house. If Pat thinks that's what I'm saying, listen carefully. I'm going to go back to what I've been saying, and I'm going to stay on it. We're not violating the worship assembly. We're eating together like the church did, and we've proven that. What I'm getting at is your inconsistent use of socialization in your meeting houses. Yet, you say that's okay. It's an incidental use. And when you eat together, it's not an incidental use. Well, friends, we've got a problem with that. That's what I'm pointing out. But have I dealt with this charge? Throughout the material, I have dealt with the charge. Neither Pat nor I would agree that we're going to use the incidentals to prove authority. Well, we've answered that several times. I didn't say that socialization in the foyer was parallel. What I'm saying is they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing. My number 19. We have found a real thorn here in the non-institutional side with the love feast. And Pat's using the chart here to get the love feast connected with the worship assembly as denoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Does it make a difference if we have a 2-hour separation or a 2-minute separation or a 2-second separation? You see, that's not the point. The time element is not the point. Is that what we're thinking here? That because we have some statements showing the close connection of the agape feast to the Lord's Supper, you know, that doesn't get it into that assembly. That's not what I'm affirming, and that's not what's happening. Why do we need to come back to the historical element? Pat doesn't have a clue as to 2 Peter 2:13, Jude 1:12. He doesn't understand what those are. So you know what? We have to go and say, okay, let's look at how the Hellenistic world in the days in which this language was used, how they used this word. What did this mean to them? You see, we don't have a Holy Spirit language that is exclusively used in the New Testament. We're not using these as authority. We've used the Bible as authority. This is used to show what was happening. But notice now, the meal preceded the Lord's Supper. It's not part of the Lord's Supper. That's the point. And friends, a 2-second interval doesn't make it in the assembly. When is the assembly beginning? We have a common time in Mountain City when we begin our assembly. Song leader will get up and lead a hymn. We know when the assembly is dismissed because a brother will conclude in prayer. We understand this. Friends, I'm certain that the early church had similar understandings. But, you see, when we're getting into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they've abused what was authorized. Let's see my number 18, please. Is the Lord's Supper the love feast? We've gone over this before. And I'm going back to the same things again. Yes, I am. If we get a good answer, we can, get off it and go to something else. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, another is drunken, which is not the Lord's Supper. You see, it's his own supper. Going a little high there. It's not the Lord's Supper. He's taken his own supper. This is dealing with a common meal, inasmuch as verse 22 forbids this meal during the Lord's Supper assembly. Friends, you don't have to have a 2-hour separation between outside activities and the assembly. Do non-institutional churches of Christ socialize before the meeting begins? They do. And they're smart folk. They know when the assembly begins, and so do we. We're not saying that. We're having a problem, however, with what this assembly is. It's an assembly to worship. And so this is dealing with a common meal, inasmuch as one is hungry and another is drunken. How could that be a meal where love is expressed as it was being abused? Noted by Pat, and I agree. There were abuses in the area of looking at the poor and not allowing them to have what others have. And friends, we don't have that situation in our common meals. You know, we have a common table from which everybody is served, and, so we're not violating it in that aspect as well. Well, that's why we have to use that passage. We're going to show, number one, the distinction between the assembly. Number two, the practice. It is spoken against, we agree. The practice of abusing the Lord's Supper. It is spoken against, and we agree. But it shows what had been happening in the Lord's church. When you bring in the other materials from the Bible, we can make that distinction. What evidence, again, did Pat give you, my friends, to prove his proposition? What evidence? Where is his Bible for it? That is here this morning in the affirmative, and we're waiting for that affirmative to begin. It's about time to get on with it, because this discussion is nigh unto its end. We're still waiting for that particular evidence. Let's look at its number 41. We've got to move along so I can get some new material here into this discussion. His number 41. We didn't deal with it. Friends, what's the problem here? Why do we need to get into an area we agree upon? We have disapproved behavior here. You know what? Let's take the Galatians for a minute. Galatians chapter 2. I'll give you a second or two of time here to open your testaments. You ought to be there about now. It's time. Second or two's gone. Galatians 2:12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. How do you know that's not a love feast? How do you know? We show another common practice, the church eating together. So let's use this material, Pat. Let's go ahead and use it. The problem came in when Peter withdrew himself, which denotes a fellowship problem.
So we can add that to the 1 Corinthians 5 passage we used with your other chart earlier. And separated himself, fearing them which are of the circumcision. That's what was being objected to. That is the area of error, not the fact they were eating together. And you see these other examples. We agree on that. The disapproved example in 1 Corinthians 11, they violated John 4, 23 and 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. They violated that. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that assembly. Pat might get us confused with that assembly, and that's why he's gone off into this other area, talking about, well, this property and this building is purchased from the treasury of the local church. Therefore, that would make it impossible for the church to eat together. But you know what? We've got a big inconsistency here as well. Really appreciate the time Pat took in explaining somewhat about Colossians 3:17. You know, we agree. We agree with that. We agree with that same hermeneutical principle with James 1:27, Galatians 6:10 as well. You know, it works good for the goose and good for the gander. Well, I'm sure that I overlooked something, not intentional, and Pat will point that out to me, and we'll get back on that in the next speech this morning. But I've got some other matters that we would like to consider as we go through the material this morning. I'm going to need number 30, please. Number 30. And after that, we'll go to 28, and after that, we'll get to that in a minute. Oh, not that one. That's the wrong one. That's for the next hour. I'm sorry. I don't know how that one got in here. Give me number 20. Wait a minute. Boy, that's wonderful. Well, but the... Okay. Let's go on to 21. Apologize about the confusion there. I have two notebooks and obviously put some material in the wrong place. E21. We ask about the following people who can eat in the building in our affirmative. Who can eat in the building? Pat said the preacher can. Saints working around the building can. They can eat together. Oh, yes. Meals provided for needy saints. How come he didn't answer about what happens when a sister has children who are not Christians? Why didn't he get into that discussion? We're going to see if we'll get a comment or two on along those lines. You know, throughout this entire discussion, it seems like there's been a denial that these points have been brought out. What about this issue? We'd like an answer. Well, a preacher and his friend who dropped by in the office, Pat said they can get together and eat. That's okay. That's all right. No problem there. All the saints, he checked that, you know, and thinking about, well, they're working around the building and what have you. Well, you know what? He agrees with us as well. We've already cleared up this confusion about the assembly. We've taken care of that. So we've had to go to this other area. You can't eat on the church grounds, and yet we're doing it here, 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 and here, and here. Well, I guess we've cleared up the whole discussion then. Don't see the consistency in this as well. E number 20. And hopefully we're getting the right one here. E 20. The church building paid for out of the church, treasury can be used in the following ways. Weddings for the saints. Pat said no. Receptions, no. Funerals, no. Pat said no. For the non-saints or for the saints. Weddings, no. But he says for the needy saints, yes. Needy saints only. We're going to request once again, we address the subject of a sister who is a Christian having children 2, 3, and 4 years of age. What about them? Are they not allowed to come in? They're all poor. They're all destitute. They need help. They're starving to death. We'll let those little children starve to death, but we're not going to feed them. You know what? Personally, I've never performed a wedding ceremony because we get through the discussion about the authority for the ceremony, and I won't marry people who are not Christians, so I haven't performed the wedding, but I've been married. And I know when the preacher did the marrying, he did a lot of preaching the gospel. He sure did. He went to passages like Matthew 19:9 to be sure the wife and I understood this was for life. He's preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, I preach more funerals than I can count. I don't know what happens, but you see a lot of folks just pass along. In 17 years of working as a preacher, I've preached a number of funerals for Christians, for non-Christians, and I can say tonight that every funeral sermon I preach the gospel of Christ. I tell the lost what they must do to be saved. No, we can't use the building for those functions, but we've got the water fountain in the church building. Now, is that consistency? Oh, consistency. We've got a real problem here as well, and we're wanting to know if that problem is going to be addressed in the discussion that we have at hand. And I talked about who can cook for the poor. Or can the cooks in the feeding of the needy saints, can they eat with the poor? Can they eat with the poor? Who exactly can eat in this feeding of poor saints in the church building? Why is it a good thing for individual Christians to eat together? Why? That wasn't addressed, was it? Why is it good? I want to know why it's so good for individuals to eat together. And that's what's happening, by the way. When we're eating together, we're individual Christians. Part of the local church, indeed. Still the church, yes. But we are not in that worship assembly. And we have authority for the practice. Is it sinful for the church to eat together as a collective group? Pat says no, not in every case. We can dismiss our services and go across the street. That's all right. But if we do it on this ground, that's a problem. Well, you see, that is simply not consistent, especially when we haven't addressed this socialization problem. We're going to have to get those water fountains out and get that gathering place taken care of. You know, incidental? Can incidentals be abused? Incidentals are abused oftentimes. And if I were making an argument that 1 Corinthians 11 forbid the eating of a common meal together, I'd be very careful not to abuse an incidental that would nail my hide to the wall when I was trying to teach such a doctrine. It's good to eat together. And it certainly is an aspect of fellowship. You know, in the affirmative, as we unfolded our material, we showed in the Bible authority that we have to purchase a building. We showed that we can have one of these rooms. We use them at Mountain City at our congregation. We use them for classrooms. We have a workroom set up in there. And you know, we're not just going out and building one of these fellowship halls to eat in. You know, we have this place set aside. There's not a problem with that. But on Pat's chart dealing with fellowship, you know, he brought out the Greek koinonia, wanted to know where it could be associated in the Bible and with a meal, eating together. We gave him Bible answers for that, one in the last speech, one in this speech. But not only that, you know, that word means to share and to partake in all things alike. The context determines the kind of fellowship. Christians have fellowship with non-believers. In business, they're sharing and partaking alike. We need to be careful when we use these things, you know, because first of all, we do have Bible for it. But secondly, let's think about the context. When we eat together, this is fellowship. It is the edifying of brethren coming together, growing in faith and knowledge of God's dear Son. I'm about out of time.
30 seconds.
Well, we'll just call it right there. Now, one more speech.
Correct.
And it wouldn't be fair for me to pull out those charts that I was going to pull out in this one without asking your permission. Will you let me do that?
Yes.
If you don't want me to, brother, I'll respect that. Okay?
No, it's fine.
If I can find them, I might not be able to find them. We'll see.